got so excited about that Walmart story, I forgot about our caller, and I talked to him during the break. I really apologize. Tom has been very patient. So we're going to get Tom, get his comment question, and we'll go to John on the other side. Tom in Florida, you're live on the air on the Power Hour. You are live, my friend. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you for having me on. I heard you talking about the masks, right, and how frustrating it is. And, you know, they've got these, you can get these things called T-shirts on demand. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. You can just print whatever
you
want.
You walk in, you tell them what you, you don't have to do a big run. In other words, you can get a few made right on the spot. And I was thinking what you should do is get a T-shirt on demand and go in there and tell them to print on the back of it. At the top, you just put, I don't drink my own urine. I don't eat my own feces. I don't lick my own sweat. And I don't rebreathe my own respiratory waste. And just put that on the back. You don't have to say a thing to anyone. If they know how to read, they'll get maybe some idea what's going on.
Oh, I like that. That's a great idea. And it's a great, you don't have to argue with anybody. You don't have to get in anybody's face. You don't have to punch out the guy in Starbucks like the one guy did.
Yeah. Right. And anybody who's interested will ask you. Otherwise, they'll stare. I mean, you know, it's just basically you're wearing a nice sign, but you're being very passive, and they can read it, and it might make them start to think.
Oh, I like that idea. I like the idea for a lot of reasons. Maybe we should have one about the Bill of Rights. Is the Bill of Rights
the
law, or isn't
it? You guys should print them up and sell them.
Maybe.
You can support the Power Hour and get the T-shirt, and I think you can get them done pretty quickly.
Well, very good. Very good. Any other comment or question you have before we go to John?
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk about the money. And everybody who's interested in this and who's listening should go onto the Internet and punch up the Coinage Act of 1792. It's actually in April 1792, the Coinage Act. And you can get it up in a number of ways. It's always the same thing. It's literally the original document. It's absolutely fascinating because it actually talks about, it's basically a recipe. It's a recipe. It tells the purity of the gold, what the purity of the coinage of America would be, how much alloy, right down to the fractions of, I mean, it's nothing but a recipe. And I find it fascinating that also when they put the Coinage Act together to create a reliable currency for us, a reliable money, what a lot of people, I think, don't understand is that everybody today thinks that, and it's true, that all the fiat currency actually is printed by the governments and actually belongs either to the government or, in our case, it belongs to the Federal Reserve. It gets a bit complicated. You know, the printing office makes it, but the Federal Reserve orders it up. But the original money in America, when they did the Coinage Act, it wasn't so that the government would actually own the money. All they were doing was creating a reliable standard for people to rely on because everybody was running around with Spanish doubloons. They probably had Dutch guilders, French sous, British sterling. And they said, well, why don't we have something we can all recognize easily without trying to figure out what's worth what with what, you know. So they made it recognizable. They made the standard weight, and they made the standard purity, but they in no way owned the coin. That you would take your Spanish doubloons or your silver your nuggets, and they would assay them at the mints, and they prescribed where the mints, how the mints would be operated, who would be paid, who the engravers were. It's such a fascinating document, and it's very short. So what they would do is they'd assay it, and then they would produce a reliable coin for you, either in silver, gold, or copper, and they would charge you 0.5% of its pure value. In other words, you'd bring in adulterated gold, and they would determine how much was pure, and 0.5% of pure value was the fee you paid to walk out with a reliable American eagle or a double eagle. And it's absolutely fascinating to read.
That is fascinating.
It's short. It's so short, and it's nothing but a directive and a recipe. And here's the best part: Section 19, because there's only 20 sections to it, and they're all really short. Basically, it says, "And be it further enacted that if any of the gold or silver coins which shall be struck or coined at said mint shall be debased or made worse as to the proportion of fine gold, fine silver," and it goes da 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 da, explains what could happen or employees stealing. It says, Every such officer or person who shall commit any or either of the said offenses shall be deemed guilty of felony and shall suffer death.
Whoa.
Section 19.
Whoa.
Bring it up. It's phenomenal.
I did not know that. I knew a lot of that other side. I did not know that. That's fascinating.
This is how serious it was to fool with debasing currency, because money, because
it's robbery.
Because
it's like it's like horse thievery. It's robbery. You debase your money because you're stealing your effort. You're stealing part of your soul. You want to do a revolutionary thing. Everybody listening, go buy an ounce of silver. If everybody in America bought an ounce of silver, the banking cartel would be done in about a month. Anyway, Tom, thank you so much. We got to get to our guest.
Can I say one more thing?
Quickly.
When they set this up, in this prescription, in this Coinage Act, it literally says gold and silver shall be at a ratio of 15 to 1.
Well, there you go. You mentioned that earlier. 15 to 1. There you go. And that's about what it is out of the ground. It's even less than that now, I think, because silver, there's not many silver mines. That was great information. Great call, Tom. Great call. Sorry I waited so long. Thank you so much, my friend. Our great guest today, I always get his name wrong. I told him, you should have named it the Whitehead Institute. I keep calling him John Rutherford. Rutherford.org is the website, and for the constitutional authority, constitutional protection, constitutional fighting for us, punching people in the nose on the mask, whatever. This punching people for offending the Constitution. This is our man, John Whitehead. We're proud to have him on. Welcome back to the Power Hour, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is crazy times. It's been a little while since we've talked. I don't know where to start, but except I'm just going to open up to you. What in the world has went through your mind over the past 2-3 months?
Well, I always start with the premise of James Madison, who wrote our Bill of Rights. He said we ought to mistrust all those in government. I'm very mistrustful of a lot of the things I'm seeing. I think that the way the government's operating, again, all I do is research. And by the way, I've written over 30 books, the last book being Battlefield America, The War on the American People. I've actually had people calling me recently saying, how did you predict all this was coming? Battlefield America, if you look at the cover of the book, you'll see that society totally broken down. And that's basically what the government's been predicting, by the way. They are prepared for a total breakdown of society. You should go to our website at Rutherford.org and look at the video that we have there. It was done by the Pentagon. It's called Megacities, Urban Future, The Emerging Complexity. It predicts that at least by 2030, the country's going to totally break down. The government's going to have to exercise martial law. So that's basically, I think, where we are headed. It looks very much like that right now, and it could get much worse, especially depending on how much government agents are involved in what we're seeing. And, again, I have a long history of studying that, going all the way back into the 1950s, 1960s, when the FBI agents would grow long hair, beards, smoke pot with the hippies, watch them, and then report them and get them arrested and follow them. So the government's been infiltrating movements for a long time. So I'm always I've been told by NSA agents that, by the way, recently. They infiltrate everything. So be very, very careful what you're thinking, what you're doing out there, because we have a society that's watching everything. Google is working with the Chinese government and worldwide and studying our location data. They know where we're walking, what we're doing, what we're texting, our browsing, everything they know about. So Facebook, same way. Facebook's watching everything. And Facebook, but most people don't realize this, in October, Facebook was in the White House eating dinner with Donald Trump twice. We have no idea it was not reported on what they were meeting about. So there are a lot of things that go on that we're not told about as American citizens, which means we should be so mad, so irritated, that we are ready to fight back. And I would say that with all we're seeing with the coronavirus, the protests, Black Lives Matter, and all this stuff, don't just accept what the mainstream media tells you. The mainstream media, as Carl Bernstein noted in an article, if you remember Woodward Bernstein, who exposed Richard Nixon and got him impeached, basically, Carl Bernstein wrote a detailed memo on what he saw as a top journalists, that the CIA, NSA, all those groups work with the New York Times, the major networks, editing their material, helping them present their viewpoint. So what I'm telling people is, if you're sitting and watching TV and believing exactly what you hear on television, you're deluded. And you need to do your own research. And that's what I do. That's why I've written 30 books. I do my research, write it down, and try to tell people what's going on. And with what we're seeing today, I think society is being psychologically reconstructed right now. People are becoming very paranoid about one another. There's a lot of hate and division. And I know you've heard this, conquer, divide and conquer. That's a very good strategy. The government's used that for quite a while, and they still use those kind of things. So I would be, what I would try to stress to your listeners is, be very wary, question everything, even your local government. And that's the other thing. You better start getting involved in your government. I only think we have, I'm not sure we have till 2030, by the way. That's what the federal government, the Pentagon, is predicting. 2030, the government's going to collapse. And you have all these businesses now. Before this coronavirus hit, it was predicted that by 2026, over 75,000 businesses were going to go bankrupt. It's happening much quicker right now. So we're in a hell of a mess, folks. And what I'm trying to get people to do is to get educated, get involved in your local governments, and start reversing this thing. That's the only way it's going to happen. The people who founded this country, who today would be labeled extremists, by the way, I wrote a commentary, you can go to Rutherford.org and read it, where I say that the people who founded this country today would be on an extremist list, which, by the way, the Department of Homeland Security, which is a secret kind of agency, secret police, they do threat assessments on all homes. They're watching everything we're doing. If you own a rifle, it's like the fellow Duncan Limp. If you, most people haven't heard of this case. Several months, a month and a half before the George Floyd incident, he was shot in his bed with his girlfriend through the window by police in Maryland because he was a Second Amendment advocate. He was asleep, and his parents wanted to go to town and fight and protest. And the police said that was against the law. They would arrest him. Well, we'd gotten back the parents and back the cops off. But the point is, this stuff's been going on a long time, these executions, killing people, and there's only certain ones the mainstream media seems to focus on. Okay? So what I'm saying is, folks, get educated. Education precedes action. And again, listen to programs like this. If you think CBS News and all these NBC is going to give you the news, you're really silly. That's all I'd say.
Wow, that was a lot of information, a very compelling summary. Battlefield America is a very compelling book, ladies and gentlemen. I highly encourage you to get it. Let's talk about this Back the Blue movement, about police. You mentioned something that I've been stressing. You know, we hear this Back the Blue, meaning back the police. Well, what am I backing them to do? Because they don't seem to be backing us. I mean, where do you draw the line? Where do you think, when you hear Back the Blue, what comes to your mind?
Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017, where all this started, the first big protest movement that caused all this chaos. About 2.5 weeks before that, the police department met with me in Charlottesville, all of them, except the police chief. He was nervous. And they were talking to me, and
Hold on. Everybody would meet with you except him. Why would he was nervous about what?
He didn't want to be involved, you know, the police. They were told by some police around the country, go meet with John Whitehead. He'll give you how to respond to this. He dodged for whatever reason. But they were sitting there in the room with me, and these were the chief people who run everything, not the guy who's called the police chief. These are the people who actually do the job.
Yeah.
And they had their guns and their tasers and all their equipment right there, and they looked at me and said, we're frightened. And I looked at these people. These are well-seasoned cops. I said, what are you frightened of? And they said, we're frightened of Antifa. And I don't think we're going to be able to do much. And so they were basically telling me they were going to stand down. And that there was, you know, 1,000 cops there that day, by the way, from state police, National Guard, and all that. They stood and watched people get beaten. They watched it and just let it happen. And we're seeing that around the country right now. So,
okay, hold on. They were Did they stand down because they're afraid, because they were told to stand down, a combination of the both? I mean, 1,000 police, that's a small army on the streets there. And they didn't
divert it. They could have diverted it very easily. I told them how to divert it, and they wouldn't do it. They just watched it happen. And so I've heard a few police chiefs here recently saying things like, well, look at a group of neighborhood businesses come to meet, and the statement of the chief of police is, just go, you'll have to defend yourself now. You're saying things like that. And I'm going, what in the heck are we paying these people for?
Good question.
And all this equipment. And here's another thing most people don't realize. In March of this year, the Congress passed the CARES Act, which gave $2.3 trillion to local police to purchase all kinds of equipment, including drones, Chinese drones. And about a month later, I heard all this stuff about defunding the police. I said, well, they've already got all the equipment. And I've had police chiefs tell me they have warehouses with MRAPs, grenade launchers, everything that a modern army would have. Defund the police is not, they're not going to defund the police. They have all this equipment already, and they're going to get more under this, already under the CARES Act.
They're just going to get rid of an actual person who's making a human decision, basically.
Yeah. So here's what, that's what you're facing in this country. Double talk. You have to be very careful. Again, I think we're one of the few organizations at the Rough Institute where you can go and get the right answer because, again, as I talk to people who supposedly in journalism who work in this area, they don't know a lot of this stuff. And they go research it and come back and say, you're right. Wow. You know? So the thing is that the government, and again, I've done this for 40 years. I sued Bill Clinton for Paul Jones, won the case against him. During that era, I met so many people that worked in the government who told me the same thing. You can't trust a thing coming out of Washington, D.C. And as a recent study just showed out of SMU, psychopaths, the main place they congregate is in Washington, D.C., basically. And that's absolutely true. That's a study. That's actually a study conducted.
Wow.
My study where psychopathology and psychopaths basically have no feeling for other human beings. They're very good at personal relationships, at looking good on TV. But when it comes to really caring about human beings, they don't care. They want the money. They want the golf trips. They want the trip to see the queen, all that crap. So that's how it's run. So you live in a fiction land. You have to come back and look at what's happening in the real world. In the real world, you know, we, the people out there, are working hard and they're taking our money. They're taxing us. And we don't, what do you really own in this country? The government can take anything. I mean, we've done many, many cases where they take people's homes, because asset forfeiture. Have you ever heard of that doctrine?
Absolute civil asset forfeiture, stealing.
Yeah, if they take money out of your, if police pull you over and take, let's say you have $2,000 in cash, you're taking it to put in the bank, you're just traveling 10 miles, they take it, they can keep it. They don't give it back. You have to file a lawsuit in the court, and most of the time people have lost their homes that way too. People don't realize that, and it's shared equally with the federal government. The Justice Department gets their hands on the money as well. This is happening all around the country.
Let me pause you a second. Let me pause you, John. Does the Bill of Rights matter anymore in the court situation, to our government situation? I mean, it almost seems like they're operating totally outside. I mean, completely outside it. Does it matter at all?
Not much, because most judges, and judges are just bureaucrats in robes generally, because, I mean, they're not. I know people who've become judges, and I was wondering how in the world that person became a judge. It's very political. But a lot of them, listen, I've talked to lawyers today. I mean, for years, the schools have not been teaching the Bill of Rights. I can't tell, most people can't even tell me the five freedoms of the First Amendment. I talk to lawyers who can't. I talk to policemen who do not know what the Fourth Amendment basically says. It's not taught anymore in the public schools. And that's why we have a Bill of Rights pamphlet, and I pass it out to people and say, go home. Set your kids down and teach them the Bill of Rights. They're not teaching the Declaration of Independence, and they won't be doing that because that's a racist document now. A lot of the documents you see are going to be completely eradicated, the so-called radical documents, which would be considered extremist if you wrote them today. So that's the situation we're in. We're going to have to do our self-education. We're going to have to listen to good programs, not believe what you see on mainstream media. I do not watch any of those shows anymore. I was on all of them. I've been on all those shows and talked to some of the journalists, and they say the same thing. They read from a teleprompter. Who's writing the material for them? That's the big question.
We got about
these,
a minute.
A lot of these guys that come on now are consultants on mainstream media. And after they leave, former NSA director, former this, and I'm going, wait a second. That's the government giving me the news. And what did James Madison say? We ought to mistrust all those in power. People who get power and get money, if they're psychopaths, which many people are in Washington, D.C., I mean, they don't really care about. They don't tell us what they're doing. Does the presidential administrations tell you they hire behaviorists to nudge us? Obama got outed. He got caught doing it, but they all do it.
Explain that. We got 1 minute before the break. They hire behaviorists.
Behaviorists, yeah. And they train the politicians on how to get people to do things. They nudge them. They cause controversy. They offer things. And again, it's called nudging. And that's what behaviorists do. But it's, again, the deep state does exist. It's run by the corporate elite who controls these things. And, I mean, Zuckerberg, the guy who runs Google, all down the list, man. I mean, they're the people who run the government. They are the deep state. And they can block any. Listen, they can destroy this network or me or block us anytime they want. We're fighting for people right now that are blocked on Facebook for saying something that Facebook didn't like or YouTube. You say about the Bill of Rights, does free speech exist? If you say something someone doesn't like, make them blacklist?
There's the music. This is very important. Ladies, I mean, you know what we talk about a lot in this broadcast. You're talking to a world-class constitutional lawyer, the Rutherford Institute, rutherford.org. Support them, know about them, learn from them, watch this video. They're telling you this basically the same thing that we've been talking about, except much deeper. I mean, I love John coming on. We'll be right back more with John Whitehead from Rutherford Institute. You're listening to the Power Hour.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. I think we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877
1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Independent media has done a lot for this country in changing the discussion, moving the Overton window, as they say, capturing your hearts and minds. No longer does corporate media have a stranglehold on people's opinion. An opinion, that's this show, Joyce Riley started, and being able to have people like this on have changed the discussion, have maybe accelerated timetables, maybe broken timetables, maybe what have you. We have power. We have something inside us. The Power Hour, that's what we're about. The Power Mall, that's how we're supported, and that's the great products that you know you can get. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Every time you purchase something from the Power Hour, you are sticking your middle finger up, metaphorically, to the deep state. You are putting fuel in our tank and getting us down this highway of information, of truth, and to a better place, and to hopefully sustaining our republic. That's what we do here. And that is our mission. It's all about the truth, and you're in the right place. So we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. So thank you so much for your support, and you're welcome for what we do. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Check it out. Getting back to John Whitehead from Rutherford Institute, Rutherford.org. His book, one of many, Battlefield America, probably the most pressing one I think you probably need to look at right now. Battlefield America, that our great republic has been turned into a battlefield, says, really, it's heartbreaking, really, when you look at it. When I look at it, sometimes I throw up my hands. When you look at this much more than I do, John, you're much more intimate with it. You see it on such a day-to-day sidewalk level. When you look at the state of America, do you cry? Do you punch a wall? Do you laugh? I mean, what do you do at this point?
I'm very sad, to be honest with you. I told my wife the same thing, especially what's happening right now. I'm seeing how people are being turned against one another. And I do think it's a political ploy. And I do really believe it because it's so well orchestrated that people are going to not trust each other, basically. They're getting very cynical, even in places where people are more friendly, have communities. The same thing is happening. So they're basically separating us, and they do not want us to get together, by the way, in groups. They fear mass movements that are well coordinated and are nonviolent, by the way. They do not like that. And anybody that's ever tried to do those kind of things has wound up dead. And Martin Luther King, by the way, is one such person. I agree with the King family. I think they shot him in the head. He got shot in the head with a hollow point bullet. And most people don't realize this, though. Just several years ago, Department of Homeland Security purchased 1.6 million hollow point bullets for all its agents, the Department of Agriculture. The IRS agents now have it. They all have SWAT team rays. The Smithsonian Institution, all of them have SWAT teams now and hollow point bullets. Hollow point bullets, by the way, I'm a former infantry officer. They expand on contact. So if you get hit in the arm by a hollow point bullet, it will take your arm off. If you get shot in the skull, your skull is going to fly off of it. And if you've seen pictures of Jacqueline Kennedy scooping President Kennedy's brain off the back of the car, you get the idea what a hollow point bullet will do. So we have a government that's loaded with hollow point bullets. Now, what do they think about us? Here's another thing. People don't realize this. In Fort Benning, Georgia right now, Fort Benning, Georgia, the government's building a state-of-the-art town for the special response teams, the same response team that showed up in Portland and jumped out of cars. And one veteran, you know, got the crap beat out of him, if you saw that. I wrote an article about it. But and it's going to be, that town is going to be used to fight domestic, basically so-called domestic terrorists, domestic extremists and stuff like that. So they're going to be training in Fort Benning, Georgia, in this fake town they're building. It's going to cost over $1 million. Guess who pays for that? You and me. So, and you talk about the Pentagon.
Let me be clear. John, wait a minute. Be clear about this. They're training for domestic. They're basically training for the red-blooded, redneck American who's not going to go along with the eradication of the Constitution. Is that basically what you just told me?
I think it'll go gay with anybody that resists. I mean, it doesn't take. I mean, yeah, they're getting ready. For economically, I mean, we have the largest debt we've ever had in this country. It's over like $26 trillion right now. This country could fold. If it doesn't fold, it's going to be swept into a global market. And that's another thing we may want to just touch on briefly. We're definitely moving toward a global government. There's no doubt about that. The technology demands it right now. Google, Facebook, they're all working in that direction. So that's going to happen. But the government's extremely paranoid. I mean, the Department of Homeland Security does threat assessments on all homes. They watch everybody. You know, they're very nervous about people. They do extremism reports on different individuals. I mean, we had the case of Brandon Robb about 4 or 5 years ago, the Marine who was in his home tithing on a Saturday morning. He had no gun or anything. He was a decorated Marine, and he heard a noise outside, and he looked outside, and here come the police and SWAT team raids and the fellows in black suits who were Department of Homeland Security, FBI. And they pulled him out of his home. This is when last year Obama was in office and said that the post he was putting up, he wanted Obama arrested because of Obama's executive orders. He felt he was committing treason. He was pulled from his home and put in a mental hospital. We filed a lawsuit and got him out. But he would have been there forever. And this is what we found out, though, in this lawsuit. 1.5 million people a year disappear into mental hospitals in America now. Think about
that. What, say that again?
They're arrested and taken away and put in mental hospitals. You never hear from them again. If it hadn't been for his mother called me crying on the phone. She called the ACLU. She called everybody. They're called civil commitments. Everybody's nervous about them. If they're civilly committed, they're crazy. That's 1.5 million people a year are forcibly put in mental hospitals in America. Now, what did an NSA agent tell me not too long ago? He said, John, we're following the Soviet model now. We're moving people into mental hospitals, institutions to get rid of so-called extremists. So if you speak out today, a lot of people today, and I don't know who they are, they're in mental hospitals. This guy, Brandon Robb, was just shooting his mouth off. Decorated Marine, by the way. He was given a 5-minute hearing in his cell. He's a 9/11 truther. And because he was a 9/11 truther, the psychiatrist said because of his post, he's a 9/11 truther, he's insane. He was locked up and put away. He would have been gone forever if it hadn't been for us getting him out of there.
And how is Grandma Jones sitting on her couch right now supposed to take everything you said at this point? I mean, how are we supposed to take this? What are we supposed to do?
Well, Grandma Jones better grab her grandchildren, teach them. get her family situated where they can go down to the local. We're based on the 10th Amendment says in this country that we have a federal system of government where power is divided among local, state, and national entities. Local governments have a lot of power if they will exercise it. But here's the other thing I found out. I've been doing this for 40 years, suing governments, local governments too. A lot of the local governments are taking corporate trips, they're getting dinners, they're flying here, so these corporate entities can influence local government. Money has a way of polluting everything, basically, if it's done for the wrong, if it got the wrong incentive, and that's to manipulate people and take their money or whatever they're going to do. And good, honest people running local governments, you can tell people, you can return, listen, 80,000 SWAT team raids occur in America on an annual basis, up from 3,000 in the 1980s. 500 dogs a day are killed by police in this country through SWAT team raids, children killed. And guess who doesn't report this? The mainstream media. 80,000, you know what a SWAT team raid is? If you don't, I'll tell you a little bit about it. They crash through the door in the middle of the night, smash it down. I had one police chief call me not too long ago, a year or so ago, and said, John, I'm going to really curtail the activities of my SWAT team. He said, my SWAT team crashed through a door, and one of my men put an AK-47 to a four-year-old kid's head. He said, we're going bananas. And they're trained militarily in the police academies now. To give you another case, another decorated Marine in Arizona. The police were doing a sweep of an Arizona neighborhood looking for pot. They were doing SWAT team raids in the middle of the night. They crashed through his door. He heard them. He slammed his wife and kid in the closet. He stood at the end of the hallway with the only thing he had was his hunting rifle. The police shot him 70 times. His wife tried to get him help. Said, get me the medics. They shoved her away. He was bleeding to death. No marijuana was found in his home. They were in the wrong place. They got qualified immunity. Nothing happened to him.
Tell me about, you said qualified immunity.
Now,
speak about that.
Go back and say this. Your local communities can stop these SWAT team raids. They don't need to be happening. And these are 80% of the SWAT team raids are where police used to show up, knock on your door, had the warrant in their hand to make sure you were the right person. Now they just bash through the door and kill people, and no one's reporting it.
And the local
communities are allowing it to happen.
I'd like to get a comment on this qualified immunity because obviously that's a touchy subject that they basically can do whatever. And if they're in the act of quote unquote enforcing a law, the Supreme Court was supposed to hear the case. They refused to hear the case about qualified immunity as a Supreme Court. I mean, it cannot be compatible with the Bill of Rights, but yet here we are and the Supreme Court does nothing about it.
Brandon Robb, the Marine I told you about, they slammed him against the fence when they arrested him, cut his back all the way down. And this guy hadn't done anything wrong at all. He was bleeding so bad when he got to the police station, he asked for a bandage. They didn't. They put a prison shirt on him. He said it hurt so bad his back was bleeding. We won his case. We sued the police, the Department of Homeland Security, the psychiatrist, and all of them involved. And guess what? The federal court granted them qualified immunity. They were just doing their job. Really?
Oh, my God.
And this is what I tell local police a lot of times. You're talking and say, what can we do? Listen, if you think it's morally wrong what you're doing, don't do it.
Well, morally wrong, look, they take an oath to the Constitution. Look, I'm tired of hearing about this but the police. This is my issue. The police do not, when push comes to shove as an institution, the police do not work for the people of this country. I've been saying that now for quite a while. I want to get your comment on that. They do not work for you and me. Is that true or not true? They work for the municipalities.
They work for the corporate elite. That's what some of your major police chiefs who have resigned have actually said that. They work for whoever's controlling the money. They're interconnected with the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security. ICE agents now work with them. All these different groups, the National Guard. So you just don't have a local police anymore. Not really, no. The FBI actually trains most of the police chiefs. So you don't have that. No. In this country, the basic principle was we were the bosses. We the people are the boss. What's the first three words of the Constitution? Can anybody tell
me? We the people.
That's it. We're the government. We're the bosses. But most people say, that's the government. I say, no, you're the government. And that's one thing. If you're going to point your fingers, point it at yourself. That's what I tell people. Because if you're not doing, you're not speaking out, you're not getting involved, not fighting this thing. Yes, we're supposed to be the bosses. The police work for us. But if you're afraid of a police officer, it's totally backwards. That police officer should be nervous about you because you're paying the bill. You are paying their bills. You are the employer. And people now just accept the fact that, oh no, here they come. I got to run away or I got to do this. They're afraid to talk back. But if you talk back to a cop in the middle of the night in America now, and I tell people be very careful if they pull you over, if you're driving at dark, they can pull you out of the car, slam your head against the fence, whatever they want to do, and they have qualified immunity. So the thing is that you can take the power. We the people can do that, but we the people are lazy. The average American watches 150 hours of screen devices a month. Kids, wow. It's difficult talking to teenagers these days. They stare at their screen device all the time. They're addicted to this stuff. And guess who controls all that information they're getting? Are they teaching them morals? Are they teaching them the Bill of Rights? Are they teaching them about freedom? No. They're saying, buy this from us. And they view people as basically data bits. And what can you do to a data bit? You can erase it. And that's how they see us today. We're not seen as people with great worth and dignity as human beings anymore. That's not how government views us. And under Obama and now under Donald Trump, the artificial intelligence, the National Security Commission for Artificial Intelligence was just set up under Donald Trump, and it's advancing artificial intelligence basically to take over on a national scale and track everything we do so we can be watched. They want pre-crime. They want to make sure that they can.
Minority Report. Tom Cruise, Minority Report.
Yeah, and they now can, everything about you, the FBI has 640 million photos or pictures of Americans. They have the largest facial recognition database ever, besides the Chinese, by the way, and probably the Russians. And every time a crime is committed in your neighborhood, your face goes up on the screen. So we're all suspects now, even though you've never committed a crime or your worst crime is speeding down the highway occasionally. So watch out. I mean, with artificial intelligence now taking over, and it is taking over. I mean, all you got to do, by the way, is that when I go on my phone and I maybe type something in or go over, and then I go on my Facebook account, I get an ad on that subject. It's amazing how fast it happens.
Well, so, even creepier is if your dog barks in the background, then you get a dog food commercial. That's even creepier. Is it something that you said or something that heard?
That's all you got to say is one word, and it can do it. But see, that's what's happened now. In China now, several of their newscasters are synthetics. They're not people. They're robots.
Yeah,
they
heard that.
They look like people. I mean, that's coming. So we the people, if we don't take this thing over and slow it down, and we only have, I mean, like I say, the Pentagon through that video is predicting by 2030 it's over. They're going to have to clamp down, and it may be quicker with all the stuff we're seeing. So, and we, right. This may be the prep period for that, by the way.
All right, let me ask you about sheriffs, because police are not elected. At least a sheriff is elected. If you don't like what a sheriff does, you can get rid of them. They are directly accountable to the people. The sheriffs, I've talked to several of them in their counties, they're stopping this mask stuff. They won't allow mandatory vaccines. They won't allow gun control. What happened in Virginia, that was the sheriff standing up. I've been working with sheriffs, and I've talked to you about this off air. We've made some headway. We've had a lot of disappointment, to be honest with you, about their attitude. But to me, local sheriffs, we can really make a headway against this, and we can have a constitutional base of freedom and liberty in these local counties. Your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think that sheriffs, I think good policemen, there are good policemen who do not like this stuff. I mean, the older policemen I've talked to are shocked about what's happening in the police academies. Several that I've talked to are frightened by the training. It's military. They're training people. When you train someone militarily, you put them in a black uniform with a vest, a helmet, and an AK-47 or a grenade launcher, or put them in an MRAP, which are tanks on tires, they see the American citizen as an enemy combatant. SWAT team raids gives you a good example. They look at us as enemy combatants. We are dangerous. They've got to smash through our door and kick our heads in, which they do. So it's a lot of good policemen do not like this. If we could get 1,000 good policemen across the country to start a really good organization where we're going to say, listen, here's the key. We're not anti-policemen. I'm not anti-policemen. I say let's make them follow the Constitution, but they've got to learn the Constitution. They don't know what the Fourth Amendment says and what it means. The Fourth Amendment's really clear. I got it right here in my hand. I'm flipping through the Fourth Amendment. I got one of our brochures. It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Folks, if they're crashing through your door in the middle of the night, and we doing that stuff they're doing, the SWAT team raids, or some of the cases where we have and we've sued, where police show up at the door looking for somebody and the husband argues and says, they're not here. What are you doing at my door? They slam the guy face down in his yard and rush in the home, search the home and leave. What happens? There's nobody there.
They That's have immunity.
The case we happen to win. We sued them in Texas over that issue. But the point is, they shouldn't be doing that. That's the Fourth Amendment says you can't do that. But they do it. And why? Because we, the people, are not enforcing the law. And we're not learning. Listen, the public schools today, I call them indoctrination centers. They're so afraid of free speech. When they think the Declaration of Independence is a racist document, we've come to the end of the road.
You got a point there.
The Declaration of Independence is a radical document. That's why they don't want anybody reading that thing. It says we can overthrow the government when we want to.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because they started to attack Robert E. Lee statues. And as soon as that happened, I knew crystal clear, this ain't about Robert E. Lee. This is about Thomas Jefferson. Because if you can get rid of Thomas Jefferson, then you can get rid of the Declaration of Independence and you basically destroy country. If we're to that point, I mean, we're in Hail Mary. We're in desperation time here a little bit, aren't we?
We're in desperation time. Listen, when they're tearing down history, that's what people like Orwell said. He had his Ministry of Truth, basically, and the book 1984 is really well written, predicted all this. The so-called, when you can take away history and what people can't study history and know history, they can't know what's going to happen. If you control the past, you control the future. He who controls the future controls the present. That's what Orwell said. That's what we're seeing. Yeah. Nobody's perfect, man. Most of the people I meet today that are saying that guy was evil or whatever evil, I would like to have them sit down and write me an essay on all the evil things they've done. They'll probably look at me and go, well, I haven't done anything too evil. Really? We all do evil things, bad things.
All right. We got about 4 minutes, John. Obviously this mask thing is all encompassing practically throughout the country. States are going about it different. Walmart, different corporations. There's a great story where Walmart said, okay, fine, we'll let you not wear a mask because there's been so many fights where people basically knocked workers out because they tried to make them wear a mask, which I so applaud. I guess that's how you got to get their attention. But, make a sense of this mask situation as you saw it. Make sense of it constitutionally, legally, your perspective.
Well, I think that, you know, again, it depends on if you're in an area where there's it's collapsing or whatever, funerals or whatever, I would say tell people be safe. It has to be up to the individual. I mean, if individuals should take control of their own lives and, you know, if you don't want to wear a mask and Walmart doesn't want you to wear a mask or wants you to wear a mask or whatever, they have a private business. They can do that. But as you're seeing it, and here's a point that maybe you're making, is people start saying, I'm not going to do it. And again, it gives some evidence of that we can change things when you have rules coming from top down. And it isn't just the mask, though. What I'm saying is the mask is a small part of what we're seeing with the loss of the Bill of Rights, the loss of the Constitution. We have a generation of students coming up now that have no idea what the Constitution, the Declaration, any of those things say. The only thing they know is what they see on their screen devices, which are ruled by people who are psychopaths. So what does that say about the future? Listen, Mark Zuckerberg and people like that, when they're questioned, they can't answer questions. Have you ever seen that man?
They're never held accountable either.
They're not held accountable.
Okay, we got about a minute and 40 left, John, and this is, to me, this is more important than my life, your life, everybody listening's life. I want to hear from you, a world-class America. I call you America's lawyer, a world-class constitutional authority, constitutional lawyers on the front lines. How revolutionary, how important is the Bill of Rights? Please tell our audience.
It is the essence of the Constitution. If we didn't have a Bill of Rights, the Constitution would be a form of government. The Bill of Rights is the key. It's 462 words, ladies and gentlemen. That's all it is. And I tell people, study those 400. It takes, if you're a slow reader, it takes 10 minutes. Read them, study them. And we have a brochure that goes into detail. You can go to our website for any amount of donation. We'll send it to you. Read it yourself and teach your kids at home. And, I was trying to get our, you know, I write a weekly commentary, which is, all documented. People should be reading those. Get educated. Education precedes action. If you don't have education, you can't do anything. And you're not going to get it from your cell phone, by the way. You're going to get it from reading the Bill of Rights, reading some good books out there. And again, go to our website, sign up, get our newsletter, and get informed, folks. It's up to you. And don't point your finger at Donald Trump or whoever. Point the finger at yourself. Look in the mirror. If it's not going the right way and you're not doing anything about it, it's your fault.
Well, there you go. John Whitehead, Rutherford.org is the website. Battlefield America is his current book and timely book. It's a real pleasure to talk to you, John. We got, I don't know, 30 seconds or so. Last word is yours.
We live in very dangerous times. I've been working
for... Turn that music down, Todd, please.
I've been doing this for 40 years. This is the worst I've ever seen this country. We only have a few breaths of freedom left, folks. Time to act.
Well, there you go. John Whitehead, what more can I say? Sherry Rogers will be here tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, Town Crier, his new book about the Electoral College at the end of the week. Wayne Elliott, Jerome Corsi here. Thank you so much for your support. John, thank you for coming on. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay there, John.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.